Hallelujah. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for this wonderful evening we're enjoying of your presence. We thank you for it. Holy Spirit, our teacher, our leader, our guide, the greater one that's in us, I put myself in your hands tonight to think through my mind and rise up within me to deliver this message anointed and accurately. And the people hear it accurately. Because as you have said to me before, this is vital information. Thank you for it. To Jesus in his name be all the glory. And we receive words that from heaven that move heaven on the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's begin with Matthew chapter 4. Now, I want you to look these up. It'll take us a little time. We're going to look up a bunch of scriptures tonight. But it's good for you to put your eyes on them. Don't be embarrassed to look in the index. Well, they'll see I don't know anything about the Old Testament. Hey, did you see me bumble, stumble around up here in the book of Genesis and the book of Exodus tonight? I've been doing this 50 years and I ain't got it down yet. Quit being embarrassed. Amen. Go look at it. Put your marker at the index. That's where you want the marker. Where you flip quickly to the index. You can get so good at it, can't nobody see you do it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I got the page number. 1,023. Gonna remember that. Yes. Matthew 4:4. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Tonight, we will be talking about words. Words. The most important things in and on this earth are words. That makes the Word of God the most precious thing on this earth. Because words dominate human life. We're going to see it tonight. Let's read, first of all, Mark 11:23. Now this, once we get through tonight, you will understand Mark 11:23 like you never understood it in your life. For verily Jesus said, I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those words which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Now we'll turn to Matthew chapter 12. If you don't have a Bible, they're putting them up on the screen. Read that or look on with somebody else. You really need to put your eyes on these words. Matthew 12:36. 7. For by thy words, not God's words, by thy words thou shalt be justified, by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Now look at the 36th verse. I say unto you, every idle word that men shall speak, they'll give account thereof in the day of judgment. Hey, this is getting serious really quick, isn't it? Now, Luke chapter 6. Luke 6:45. A good man out of the good treasure or deposit of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man, now this is not talking about murderers and so forth. It's actually evil there. It's also translated natural. Okay. Natural man. You remember in the book of Hebrews, it makes this statement, an evil heart of unbelief, or a wicked heart of unbelief. A good man out of the good treasure deposit of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure or deposit of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For, or because of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. You can't help it. Whatever is in there in abundance is going to come out of your mouth. Well, I have a praise in my heart. No, you don't. If you had a praise in your heart, it'd come out your mouth. Amen. All right. Genesis 1. I know where that book is. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, God is moving. He's always moving. He's moving on the face of the waters, but nothing's happening. He's moving. Nothing. Now, look at it. Remember now, in the Hebrew Bible, it literally says, light be, light was. Amen. All right. God said, light be, light was. God saw the light. Now, that is the law. The Spirit of God is moving in your life. Yes. But if you're not saying anything, or if you're saying something else, He doesn't have anything to work with.
Wow.
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 It has nothing to do with your feelings. You better get a hold of your feelings, baby. If you're saying what your feelings are saying, they're killing you.
Amen.
Man, my feet are killing me.
Oh, no.
Really? Oh, shit. I thought I was going to die. You did not. Now you're lying.
Amen. Praise God.
Are you going to the church meeting tonight? I'm afraid not. And the Holy Spirit is saying, I love you, sweetheart, but you're not giving me anything to work with. Amen. I can't kill you over this, you understand? These, and before we get done, I mean, I've been over these again and again and again. I don't know how many times. I went back over them very carefully, and I saw some more things. Hebrews chapter 1. Take the time to look it up. I'm not going to rush it. God, who at sundry times and in different manner spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, now look, and upholding all things by the word of his power. So we live in a word created, word upheld universe. Amen. It's pretty awesome, isn't it? Words dominate our lives. We can't change that. It's set. It cannot be changed. But we can change the words under which we live. Oh, that's where the Word of God comes in. That's what makes it the most precious thing on this earth. Hallelujah. Psalm 19. 19th Psalm. 14th verse. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, or my rock, the Hebrew says, my strength and my rock. Let my words be acceptable. Faith words are acceptable. When I'm weak, what did Joel say? Let the weak say, I am strong. So your strength depends on it. All right. Let's go to the 91st Psalm. Everybody thinks they know the 91st Psalm. Most people know little to nothing about it. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's wonderful. That is glorious. How do you get in there? How do you get in that secret place? It's right there. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely. Surely. He'll deliver me. But not till I say it. Huh? Oh. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I really would like to get into that 91st Psalm. But we have to go to the 103rd Psalm. And I'm just about as wild about it. I've had so many things happen in these Psalms. So many times been blessed. So many times been delivered. Psalm 103:5. Now I want you to notice the phrase, good things so that, are in italics. That's not in the Hebrew text. Who satisfies my mouth with good. Thy youth is renewed like the eagles. But let's take a step into this, because the translators were not all that far off. The root word in Hebrew to thing is word. Because all things were created by the word. So word is thing and thing is word. Who satisfies my mouth with good words, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Amen. Now, look at the 20th verse. Oh. Bless the Lord, you his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Angels are listening for the voice of his word, not coming from him, coming out our mouths. Well, yes, sir, this is not on the list, but yes, sir, I see that. Let's go to the book of Ephesians right quick. In the 3rd chapter, verse 9, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places. Now, we know that Satan's rank is principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world. But listen, angels are principalities. Angel. See, Satan, the fallen archangel. All of the rest of these things are fallen spiritual beings. They started out on the right side. And Satan conned them into that mess. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Angels can hear God speak. Of course, he talks to them. They talk back. But they don't get revelation. Humans get revelation. They hear revelation from God while you and I preach it. They get it from us. Well, the devil ain't got any revelation. But our angels do. And the devil finds out. Lord, can I just? Yeah, okay, here I go. Though I speak with the tongue of men and angels and have not love, I'm nothing but a bunch of noise. Amen. Isn't that right? 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, right? Amen. Those are words, right? Yes, they are words. Amen. Powerful words. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the reason. This reason is so important to speak with other tongues. And what I'm telling you right now is the reason Satan fights it with everything he possibly can to keep you from doing it. Because you got a supernatural track to pray with God, and he can't understand a thing you're saying. And you can even be talking to him. You can be talking to your own angel. I got to get off of that. I'll wind up being here another hour. But okay. Hebrews chapter 1. Hallelujah. Verse 13, but under which of the angels said he at any time, sir, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Huh? They're listening to you. You have angel. You have at least one. You got that one when you're born. Amen. Then you get born again. At least you're a little more help to your angel. But then as you begin to walk in love, as you begin to walk in faith, as you begin to be more aware and study the New Testament concerning angels and the authority of angels in a church, the angel of that congregation, Jesus said, I will remove. Oh, here is a, there's a whole world here and almost no knowledge of it. Excuse me. Hallelujah. This room is full of angels right now. Hallelujah. My. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. All right. Proverbs chapter 4. And you realize this is not even close to an exhaustive list. We're just skimming the surface. Proverbs chapter 4. And I want to start with the 20th verse. This is God's prescription for receiving healing. Works every time. But it's like any other prescription, you have to take it. My son, attend to my words. That means put the word first place. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. To incline means to lean over. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for their life unto those that find them in health or medicine, to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues, or out of it are the forces of life. Spiritual forces of life are in your born again spirit. Now listen to this. Put away from you a froward or a disobedient, unruly, crooked mouth. Put it away. Do something about it. Because he just gave you the prescription for life and healing, and now he just is telling you what you better do to keep from killing yourself and killing that prescription. Proverbs 6, verse 2. thou art snared or entrapped with the words of your mouth. You are taken with the words of your mouth. My, my, my. Proverbs 18. Now, before we read that, I want you to look at Proverbs 39. Proverbs chapter 39. Oh, I did it again. I need to write another chapter in there. Well, I'm not going to take the time to look at it. Proverbs 18. Verse 20. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Increase comes from faith words. Increase words. Particularly when you're broke. You don't want to be saying, I am broke. Because if you're saying what you have, there's nothing to change what you have. But when you begin to call things that be not as though they were, now something is moving in the spirit realm to change the physical realm. This is the hardest thing for the human mind to get wrapped around. It takes time to develop it. Because you've been talking since you were 9 months old. And your mama taught you how to talk. So whatever she has, you have. Sometimes that's good, sometimes that's not. Like one man said, Grandma taught it and we bought it. You know, I mean, come on. Yeah. Well, that explains generational curses. Because your mom and daddy taught you how to talk. And their confession opened the door to the curse. And you've been saying the same thing there. So that, you know, that devil's just, he just build him a nest there and just stay there one, two, three, four generations down the line. Young man that was, went to the, he's about 3 years older than me, just went home to be with the Lord here. Last year, and I was privileged to do his homegoing service. Glory to God. Anyway, went to the same high school I went to and all that. And went to Sagamore Hill Baptist Church in Fort Worth, Texas. So, he had heart trouble. His daddy died of heart stroke. His granddaddy died of heart stroke. Great granddaddy died of heart stroke. So somebody took Jimmy over to my mama's house at her prayer group. And And he was telling, let me back up. There's a motorcycle shop that back those years ago that I enjoyed going over there. And I got on my bike and rode over there one afternoon. And Jimmy was sitting there at the counter. And Jimmy Hester and me and a good friend, Bill Britt, they're both in heaven now. God, thank you, Lord. And the three of us started the motorcycle rallies on our property. Okay. Anybody remember that? Mm-hmm. Three people, four people, five people, six people, seven people. Well, see, there's a bunch of you sat there and didn't raise your hand. Anyway, the last year we had it, we had 50,000 people on that property. Man, we got outlaw bikers saved out there. There's one guy, you know, at his buddy said, "Leave your gun in the tent, man. You don't need it around here." Oh, okay. Man, these guys are getting saved. We're baptizing them in Eagle Mountain Lake. We baptized over 1,000 out there the last meeting we had. Anyway, I walked in there and Jimmy's sitting there at the counter. And he's on the telephone. And he said, come here. He said, I just got a report from a doctor on my physical. He said, I got the heart of a 16-year-old boy. Glory to God. And he'd already outlived his dad and his granddad and his great-granddad and a whole bunch of them. He said, Ken, let me tell you something. He said, I never told you about this. He said, they took me over to your mama's to get prayed for because my heart was bad. Oh, Lord. And he said, your mama said, tell me the truth about this. He said, well, he said, my dad died with bad heart. My grandfather died with a bad heart. My great-grandfather died with a bad heart. And I got a bad heart right now. She said, you're a preacher, right? Yes, ma'am. Tell me the truth about this. He said, lady, I just told you the truth. My daddy died of a bad heart. My granddaddy died of a bad heart. My great-granddaddy died of a bad heart. And I got a bad heart right now. He said, Kenneth, she boxed my ears. He said, she hit me on both ears. Wham! Isaiah 53:4 is the truth about this. He said, she scared me. He said, she hit me. And God healed me. But he said, she had to get my attention. He said, she cast the spirit of death off of him. Because he said, my mama would say, now, Jimmy, now you take care of yourself, honey, because you know Hester men don't live long. That's generational curse. That you just keep saying the same thing. The same words bring, words are seeds. Yeah. You can't plant one seed and get another. Keep planting the same thing and get a change. That's the definition of insanity. Keep doing the same thing and get different results. It ain't gonna happen. So anyway, when I did his home going, right on up there in his high 70s. Outlived the whole bunch, except his wife. And she's, whoa. She's a package of dynamite with the fuse lit. Amen. But you can you see that? The words had to be changed. Amen. What a lot of people think, it's the devil in my life, and it really isn't. It's your words in your life. Yes. But faith-filled words dominate the law of sin and death.
Amen.
But you have to go right straight crosswise of your feelings, your family talking, and everything else, and you're going to get called crazy and all that. What do you care if you outlive them all? I don't care what you call me, just call me. Could care less about my feelings. Now, we're what was it here? 18th chapter. We're there, right? A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. With the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Here's the big one. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Which one do you love? Whichever one you're saying is the one you love. You love life. Then you better talk life. Deuteronomy 30:19. I place before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, you choose life, that you and your seed may live. How do you choose life? With life words. And you have to go crosswise of death words. And if you're trained by the world to talk, you will talk yourself to death, and it will come somewhere around 70 or 80. Because that's what was pronounced as a curse in the wilderness, and God never said anything about 70 or 80, 70, 80, 70, 80. He never said anything about that. They said that out there in the desert. They kept saying he called us out here to kill us. He's going to kill us in this desert. And finally, he didn't have any choice. He had no choice. He's in covenant with his people. And he said, what I keep hearing in my ears will come on you. Amen. You're not getting out of this desert over 80 years old. And some of them in perfectly good health fell. Their bones fell. God said in Genesis 6:3, the days of man shall be 120 years. And the Hebrew says his natural life will be 120 years. God said that. So that's just as much the word of God as by my stripes you were healed. You can stand on that in faith. Amen. It'll change your health. It'll change all kinds of stuff. The time to get on it is when you're about 20. Amen. But it'll work. I didn't actually see that. Keith Moore started teaching on it, and Gloria got hold of it. She was teaching it in healing school. And I'm sitting back there behind the curtain. I'm listening. And of course, I grabbed hold of it right quick. But I was sitting there, and oh, the presence of God. He said, Kenneth, and that he made the statement, that's just as much my word as 1 Peter 2:24. I said, yes, sir. Yeah, it is. Yes, sir. He said, the anointing of this ministry came on you when you were 30. I said, yes, sir. He said, were you as anointed when you were 30 as you were when you were 40? I said, no, sir. He said, it's the same anointing. I said, well, yes, sir, but I was growing. And he just went up the line 10 years at a time. He said, when you were 40, were you anointed as you were when you were 50? I said, no. Were you as anointed when you were 50 as you were when you were 60? I said, no, sir. He said, Kenneth, I need you. He said, I'm asking you because I need you. To take hold of this with me? I said, yes, sir, I'm yours to command. He said, I have anointings planned from 80 to 90, from 90 to 100, from 100 to 110, from 110 to 120. And he said, I don't have any of them in the earth. Can you imagine what a strong faith anointing? Can you imagine the kind of faith Brother Hagin had been walking in if he'd lived to be 110 years old? He said, I need you to. Oh, I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'll do it. I take that. Well, it began to work in my life. I had noticed already that when I reached 70, all of my mother's kinfolks except one sister, my mother included, died in their 70s. And I take more after my mother's side of the family than I did my dad's. Now, my dad lived to be 96. And so I got a little help on that side. But I noticed when I reached 70, my physical body started taking after its own natural DNA, and I just started noticing I'm going downhill. And the Lord arrested me. He said, now, Kenneth, your DNA is the same as mine. He said, you were born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. He said, your DNA and mine are exactly the same. Now, he said, start looking to that spiritual DNA. And I'm claiming 120. And I noticed when I started doing that, my physical body was taking on old age symptoms. But all of a sudden, here came my spiritual DNA. And it was just like a mighty bird just flew in there and just caught me. And I began to increase. And I've been on the upflow ever since. And like I told you this morning, I've been in pain for 20 years. And it's my dumb fault. You understand that? Not God's. Well, I don't understand that, you preaching on it. Hey, healing is not a reward. I have to take care of my body just the same as anybody else does. I have to take care of this. The power is in the tongue. I begin to confess it and hold on to it, and things gradually. But see, these things are accumulative. What you said 4 years ago in spiritual life is only a second ago. And it's cumulative. And it builds up in there. And it begins a process. And it works. Those words are working. And they're 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 working. And if you won't foul them up, if you won't go in there and say, well, I just knew all the time this is crazy, don't work for me. It just did. Huh? And it'll work. And it'll work. And faith, Gloria calls it faith boiling over. Faith cometh and cometh and cometh and cometh. And I latched onto this in November of 2015 in Columbus, Ohio. And I said, I've had all this back pain I'm gonna have. And I begin to confess it. And I begin to stand on 120 and begin to work it and press it and get into so much pain sometimes I'd say, I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm moved by what I believe. And just keep saying it. And just keep saying it. And just keep saying it. All you have to say is, I believe I receive my healing. Don't try to fix it. Don't try to add something to it. Keep it simple. I believe I receive my healing. And then call it what it is. I believe in this case, I believe I receive my healing for spinal stenosis. I believe I receive my healing for inflammation of the sciatic nerve. I believe I receive it. Go to bed at night, you nearly come to tears. Just put a smile on my face and go to sleep with faith. And it'd ease down. And by morning, I'd be feeling all right. And I'd get out of bed and it'd take a couple hours and it'd start eating on me again, you know. No. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I believe I received my healing. I believe I receive my healing. I believe I receive my healing. I believe I receive my healing. I believe I receive. Now, Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for it. I want to thank you for it. I believe I receive my healing. I believe I receive my healing. I believe I receive my healing. And I had my little list. And I noticed one of them got checked off back there kind of early. And it's a process. And if you're not careful, you won't realize it's gone. And I thought one day, that hadn't hurt me in a long time. Yeah! Now I'm still preaching glory to God. And I come under the anointing and that pain had stopped. And then, quit? You gotta be kidding. I ain't got time to quit. I'm not old enough to quit. So I just kept on and 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 just kept on. And I woke up one morning, the 11th day of August, 2017, and I had no pain. And I don't have any pain right now. I've had no pain since. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. 20 years.
How long?
20 years. And I have no pain. Thank you very much. So I'm better shape at 81 than I was at 60. Hallelujah. My. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Now, Micah 5:3. Look at your index. And go to Micah 5. If you have one of our Bibles, it's on page 1,105. It's back there where the pages are stuck together. Verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Now, who was born in Bethlehem? Jesus of Nazareth. 715 years later. Now, those words of God that came out of Micah's mouth dominated nations, dominated armies, moved peoples, and put an idea in the mind of Caesar. He thought it was a good idea for them to go to Bethlehem to pay taxes. No, Micah did that. It dominated. The words of God's power, faith-filled words dominated life on this planet for 715 years until Jesus was born on the second that he was to be born. Amen. Have you been reading Rabbi Jonathan Kahn's books? Did you read The Harbinger?
Yes.
How exact. Perfect scriptures on the perfect day in New York City. A cedar tree falling exactly according to scripture. I read that, my mouth's hung open, and I'm thinking, yes, the dominating power of God's words. To the second. The spot. The spot. Where George Washington stood. When the very first Congress was sworn in. It wasn't Washington, D.C., it's New York City. They left where they were gathered. The first act of the Congress of the United States was to walk down the street to a chapel. Stood before that chapel and dedicated the United States of America to Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The cedar tree that stood there on 9/11. That's the chapel that stood untouched. Except for the cedar tree. And the scripture called that cedar tree cursed. Now they got them another one. And replaced it. And it died. Then they fixed it and fixed it, and it died and died and died and died. I think maybe they got an artificial one or something with it, but they couldn't make it live. It got cursed. Hey, people, do you, can we get it just the slightest bit of a concept of the God to which we belong? That has the hairs on your head numbered. That's the reason you ought to claim the original count,
brother.
Glory.
Yeah, hallelujah.
Yeah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yeah. You have to watch your words. You have to watch your words. Amen. People call things that be not as though they were. God blesses and call things that be not as though they were. The devil curses and call things that be not as though they were. And you look in the mirror. Dang. I'm losing my hair. My hair.
Yep.
Call things to be not as though they were. Cursed. Call things to be not as though they were. I look in the mirror. I did this tonight when I was getting ready to come. And I hadn't said it in a few days, and I looked in there and I said, glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hair grow. Now see, back some years ago, I inquired of the Lord for words to say. Jesus said, my words are not my own. It's the Father within me. He does the work. Hair grow. Dark brown. Amen.
Amen.
Thick be. Jesus said when he was on earth, not a hair on my head of perish. My hairs are numbered and I claim my original count. Glory. What I had when I was 30. You said 30 is 80 is my new 30. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Instead of cursing yourself. It's right here. Now, Malachi 3. Last book in the Old Covenant. The first covenant. Malachi 3:13. Now, remember what he said in 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive, and I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. Now, wait a minute, the devourer has been rebuked. But if you're a tither, you don't qualify for that scripture. Now, let me show you what's happening if you're not a tither. Go to the 13th verse. Your words have been stout against me. This is God talking. Amen. I'm bound up because of your words. Your words are stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? You have said it is vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance? Or what profit is it that we tithe? Well, this sowing tithing stuff doesn't work for me. Those are stout words against God. Huh? Don't be mocked. Galatians. I love it. You hear me read it a lot on Fridays because Friday's offering day on the Believer's Voice Victory. Verse 6, let him that's taught in the word communicate or respond to him that teaches in all good things. Don't be deceived. That's what I had it crossed with. That deceive is the word I was looking for. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. The sower soweth the word. Words are the big seeds. Amen? Are you following me now? Praise God. Shut up. Hour two. No, I'm about through here, I think. God is not mocked. Word seeds. You cannot escape it. There is no escaping it. It dominates the earth. And again, that's the reason why God's word is so precious. You can put his words in your mouth and it don't make any difference how you feel. You put his words in his mouth, in your mouth, and his promises, all of his promises in him are yes and amen. It doesn't say wait a while. It doesn't say yes, maybe, and no, maybe. No, it said yes and amen. Amen. Now, what is it about that you don't understand? Yes and amen. But you have to pray those words. You can't pray your words. You have to pray his words. Make his words your prayer words. You start off with find the answer to your prayer before you ever pray it. Don't be wandering around out in the darkness of prayer never, never land. No. Start with the answer to your prayer. Find the promise or the Bible fact that covers it. By his stripes you were healed. That settles it forever. So what else you need to know? Stay with that.
Amen. Amen.
Don't let the devil talk you out of it. I don't care if it does take 20 years. Hey, 20 years is a long time. But whoa, you think it ain't worth it? Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'll take healing. I don't care. If I turned 100, I'd still be saying it. Glory to God. Now, I'll tell you this. If it took me till I'm 100, I ought to know by now I'm on the wrong road somewhere or another. I need to back up and start again here, which I did coming down the road there. And the Lord started talking to me about it. And man, that for the last 2014, 2015, 2016, and 2017, there is a well-worn path in my life to the woodshed where God took me out there and paddled my dumb spiritual hiney and and I'm so glad. It hurts your flesh, but I'm pain free. Hallelujah. Oh, I got it. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. 2 Corinthians 4:13. One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. We, this is the Apostle Paul and the church at Corinth. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, believe, and therefore have spoken. We also believe, but it don't work until you speak. There, there's a just a fabulous congregation of people. John Carroll Arnott in Toronto, Canada. Oh, what lovely people. I met them in Rome when we went to see Pope Francis, and I met them the night before. And I'd heard about, of course, you know, everybody's heard about the Toronto blessing. And we met, and John said, would you come preach faith to us? He said, we majored on prayer and worship and the glory and the fire. But he said, we're interested. We want to know more about faith. So I did. And oh, man. They said, you got to come back. We said, okay, how about this? And this happened this year. We had our meeting in their church. So, and of course, John and Carol are right on the front row. And with Carol Arnott, you don't want to get nowhere close to that index finger. She'll say like that, and just need to knock you flat on the floor. She said, I said, Carol, put the finger up now. I got to preach here to me. I'm preaching on Mark 11, 23 and 24. That's all I preach while I was there. She said, I see it. Amen. I see it. Amen. She was having back problems. And she said, I'm believing. I'm praising God. I'm worshiping God. But I wasn't saying it. Mm. That's where the failure is. If you don't know, is the saying. Because it doesn't seem like it has any difference. Mm. Yeah, yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know, I just work here. You understand? Let's go to Book of James. Look in the third chapter of James. Verse 5. Even so. Well, no, let's book up to verse 3. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us. We turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, though they be so great and are driven with fierce winds, yet they are turned around with a very small helm, a rudder, wherever the governor listeth. Now notice, the governor has power over the rudder. You have power over your tongue. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. It's the kindling to the fire. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body. What with? Words. And setteth on fire the course or the wheel of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. This is the sparker. This is the igniter. This is the start button. Well, if it can be set on fire of hell, it can be set on fire of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost and fire. Holy Ghost and fire. Holy Ghost and fire. Kerebehunimaha. By his stripes you were healed. By his stripes you are healed. From the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, saith the Lord. This fire has begun in this meeting, and if you will watch over it and fan that flame, and with your tongue of joy begin to praise and worship and cry my word out before me in a cry of laughter, saith the Lord. The process will continue. It's been going for quite some time now, but it will continue, and it will continue, and you will wake up very soon well from the top of your head to the soles of your feet.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
That's what you came here to get. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Whoa. I don't know what happened when I did that, but something happened. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Praise God, Ronnie. I just heard the Lord say, something's happening with your voice.
How do I buy
hope? Something's happening with your voice.
Praise God.
Has something happened to your vocal cords? Is something bothering them?
Yeah, I'm not hitting the notes quite like I was, but I am now.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
I agree with that, Ronnie.
Glory to God.
The Lord just said something happening praise with your voice.
God. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Transfer of that psalmist anointing on your life.
In the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes, yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Praise
yeah,
God.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In Jesus' name.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Step out here. Step out here. Step out here.
Step out here.
Yeah. It'll be done unto you as you have believed, Ronnie Pierce.
Praise God.
And by the authority invested in me as a prophet of God.
Yes, in Jesus.
By faith in Jesus, the Lord, head of the church, and by his direction, the anointing that is in me and on me now as a psalmist.
Yes.
Which came on me back in the 70s when the Lord said unto me one day, you're no longer a singer of songs, you are a psalmist.
Yes.
And I learned years later, Ronnie, that that's part and parcel of the prophet's ministry.
Yes.
With David as your example. I impart that.
Glory
that to anointing.
God.
Be it done unto you as you have believed,
oh, yes,
and as he has spoken. Fire!
Oh, 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 oh.
Well, Hebrews 3:1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers. Say, I'm a partaker. Partakers of the heavenly calling. Consider the apostle, or the one God sent, and high priest of our profession, or our confession. Same word. Christ, or the anointed Jesus. Jesus is the one God sent, God anointed to be high priest over our words. Actually, over his words in our mouths.
Amen.
That word there, confession, also means to say the same thing. When we're saying the same thing as he has already said, if you won't turn loose of it, if you meditate on it and think about it and spend time just muttering over it, just talking about it and just seeing yourself with it, if you have to get up an hour early in the morning, if you get up in the middle of the night for an hour. Brother Hagin would would do this. He never used alarm clock. I don't either. I haven't used alarm clock in nearly 40 years. And you just set your faith to get up a certain time. And you say, with the Lord's help, I'll wake up, 15 or 6. I usually wake up at 5:30. That's the way it should be. And go to bed, go to sleep. 127 Psalm says he gives his beloved sleep. Amen. Well, I'm his beloved, and so are you.
Yes.
Learn to go to sleep by faith. Amen. I had to learn that because I was going to sleep with pain. Just going to sleep. Now, I didn't have pain every night. No. But the thing would flare up from time to time, and there were times, particularly in a heavy preaching schedule, I'd be hurting for a while and go to bed and then be all right. But anyway, glory to God. No pain. My. This is so marvelous. Hallelujah. But Brother Hagin would wake up, open his Bible, go through the healing scriptures. Now, he said, I quote every one of them. But he said, I put my eyes on every one of them. I serve the Lord my God. Blessed my bread and water, and take sickness from the midst of me, and the length of my days he'll fulfill. Send his word and heal me and deliver me from my destruction. Surely he bore my griefs and sicknesses, sorrows, and pains. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God. But he was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities, chastisement with our peace was upon him. By his stripes we healed. That was fulfilled in Matthew 8:17. Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Then fulfilled again in 1 Peter 2:24. Himself bore our own sins on his body on the tree, that I being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were, or I was, healed. I am healed now. Then meditate on it for an hour and go back to sleep. Sleep for an hour. Wake up and do the same thing. And do that 2 or 3 times in the night. Build himself up, because his daughter Pat had a growth on her eye. Back there then, he didn't call long distance. It cost money, and during the Depression, you didn't do that. So they wrote letters back and forth. What is Pat going to tell the nurse when she comes by Tuesday to check on all the children there in school? Got that growth on her eye. He said, after that, I did that 3 nights in a row. And he said, I wrote and said, tell Pat, Daddy said she's healed. Didn't say anything about what to tell the nurse. So Aretha called Pat in and said, read the letter, said, Daddy said to tell you you're healed. And she said, okay. And the next morning she got up and the thing gone. Well, now why can't I do that? Because you don't get up in the middle of the night and meditate on the healing scripture. I had to learn to start doing that. That was part of this wonderful healing. You wake up, get up. I don't like to stay in the house. I've got heaters on my deck for the winter time. Gloria said, the older I get, the more Indian I get. I don't like to be in the house. Anyway, I just get up and say, come on, Lord. And just go out there on the desk, the deck, you know, make myself a nice cup of tea. Go out there in the wintertime, turn my heaters on. In the summertime, turn my fans on. Get out there about 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. You can pray in tongues. I mean, you can smooth do some praying. Now, it's a little bit of a struggle there a while with your flesh over an hour. But after a while, you look at your watch, 3 hours? The other morning I got up, it's about 2:15 or something. I woke up, so I went out on the porch. I'm out there just praying, just worshiping God, just having a big time, you know, just me and Jesus. And I looked at 5:20. Glory to God. So I went on. I thought, well, I'm going in the house. At least I can get a couple of hours sleep here. And I went in, and Gloria was up. And I came in. She said, how long you been out there? I said, I don't know, a little after 2:15, 2:20, something like that. So we went on back in and went to bed. It's about 5:30. And she and I got to talking. And we got to laughing. You don't get into these moments without moments like that. Oh, a lot of them. I don't know why I thought of it. I thought about the first apartment we had. We so broke we couldn't pay attention. You understand that? We got married on Friday. And The manager, the son-in-law of the man that owned the business, was an ordained Southern Baptist preacher. Well, he married us. And I borrowed $100 from my boss, who was my best man, and went to Hot Springs on my honeymoon. Had to be back in the office on Monday, you know. So we got back on Sunday evening. This is our first night in this little house. And it's just a little thing. And it's the bedroom is upstairs. About 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning, the room filled up with light. The house started shaking. We sat right straight up in the bed, and there's a freight train coming right there. He's headed for this house. I'm not kidding you. That house, the street just dead-ended up next to that railroad track. And the train went around the end of our street and down the side of the house. That house, man, I'm near dying. How come we got it so cheap? We laid there in the bed at 5 o'clock in the morning, and we got to laughing, and we laid there and hee-hawed. We thought about all kinds of stuff. We just laid there and laughed. Neither one of us went back to bed. We just got up and had a wonderful day. Hey, this is life in the faith lane. When you take the time to meditate on Jesus. And hey, Jesus is the beginning. Jesus is the middle. Jesus is the end, the Alpha and the Omega. He's the biggest thing there is, and he's the smallest thing there is. He is everything.
Amen.
And you spend time in his presence praying in the Spirit. And you're praying things, relying on the Spirit of God for utterance. Supernatural words, and he's taking care of your prayer life. Romans 8:26-27, he takes hold together with us against our infirmities, but we know not how to pray as we ought. Amen. Making
with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Greek says, in articulate speech. Hallelujah. He's praying all the stuff you forgot.
Amen. Praise God.
There are things that he needs you to pray. You see, John Wesley said, it seems as though God can do nothing for mankind unless somebody on the earth asks him to. Well, of course that's true, because he created the earth and gave it to man. And he's never taken it back. So in tongues, things that he needs to be asked to do, I just say, Lord, you know, whatever you need, I'm your man. Do you know what you said? No. I don't really care. But I do pray that I interpret. And I do pray Mark 11:24. I believe I receive when I pray in tongues. While it's still a mystery. It's my mystery. It's for me. I believe I receive it. And there's been times when I began to preach Christ is not Jesus' last name, stop, meditate, translate, and so forth, some years ago, the Lord said, you've been praying that for over a year. Because I was just standing in a church one night, and the pastor of the church said, Brother Copeland, you have something? I said, no. Well, yeah. And it just came out of my mouth. But he said, that while you were standing there that night, you were actually interpreting what you've been praying in the Spirit for a year. That helped somebody right then. Oh, glory to God. Don't look at your watch. It don't make any difference. It's still dark. Well, hey. Some of y'all come off the same street I did, partner. And I know, you know. Like Jesse and I got our heads together, and we both played the same nightclub. It just wasn't at the same time. Of course, I did a better job than he did. No, I didn't either. I wasn't near as good a showman as Jesse. But anyway, you know, ain't sun up. He's going home now. Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then, that we have a great high priest. Remember what we read in the third chapter of the first verse? Seeing then that we have a great high priest passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. Hold fast to it. Hold fast to it. Don't ever let the devil... Don't ever let the devil steal your confession. Don't let him steal your dreams. Hallelujah. Amen. Just stay steady. And when you're confessing Scripture, don't ever get off that. Now, you may be going in a direction that needs to be changed in your life and so forth, but that's where you stand for correction, see. But when you're on the Word, don't ever let the devil talk you out of it. And keep it very simple. Keep, I believe I receive my healing. Thank you. And when I stand praying, forgive if I have aught against any. The six I's of faith. I believe. I will. I take it. I have it. I'm grateful for it. And I forgive. Six eyes of faith. You got a partner letter about that one time several years ago. Hallelujah. I may send you a rerun. I don't know. I never have yet, but hallelujah. Now then, we're almost there. Hebrews 4:14. Joel 3:10. Okay, Joel. Go back over there in the weeds again. Okay, there's... Oh, there's Joel on page 1089. Thank you, Lord. Chapter 3, verse 10. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. If you're saying I'm weak, you're just supporting what's already there. I need to take the time to say this to you. God said, I am. Did he not? I am the God that healeth thee. I am. Think about this. The word God came from German theology. God has names. One of his names is Jehovah Rapha. I am the God that healeth thee. Well, if healing is passed away, he had to change his name sometime or another. That ain't gonna happen. I am. Say, I am. Now, he's our Father. Jesus is our Lord and Savior. The Holy Ghost is dwelling within us and on us. We need to be careful about what we say, I am. I am sick.
No.
God never says that. He says, I am well. And as he is, so are we in this world. That'll help put a guard over your mouth that you don't sin with your tongue. I don't want to say, I'm broke, I'm sick, I'm tired, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. No. I want to put his words in my mouth. All right. All right. Revelation, no, 1 Peter 3:10, quickly, quickly, quickly. You know where that is. But this is one that's misunderstood. 1 Peter 3:10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. What is guile? No, you don't be looking up your dictionary right now. Beguile. Yeah, it means deceit or treachery. Don't be treacherous. Don't be scheming with your mouth. Because whatever you do to others is going to get done to you. That's spiritual law. And Jesus said, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. But whatever you do unto others is what others do unto you.
Amen.
That's the way it works.
Amen.
But anything, any good thing that any man does, the same shall he receive of the Lord. Amen. Isn't that good in the book of Ephesians? Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Any good thing anybody does, the same shall he receive of the Lord. So you don't want a treacherous tongue. And if you follow that, live a long time. Look at it again. He that will love life and see good days. Sick days are not good days. Poverty days are not good days. Good days. Verse 9, not rendering evil for evil, nor railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing. Bless people, knowing that you're there unto call, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they speak no treachery or trickery. Just be speaking the truth to one another in love. Hallelujah. Revelation 12:11. Oh, dear Lord, I love it because I love him so much. They overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word, by the word, by the word, by the word of their testimony. Hallelujah. They love not their lives unto death. In that wonderful glory be to God. Hallelujah. Fantastic. Incredible. How'd you like the service tonight? Oh, that message was fantastic. Really? What I preached was fantastic, fantasy, incredible, had no credibility. Now, you'll go to the dictionary and find that even in some dictionaries, it's eventually changed the unbelievable. But that's not. Some dictionaries have changed it to mean, you know, just awesome and all that. It still means a lie. Yes. And the devil will hold a dictionary at your head. Mm. He knows you didn't mean it. He don't care what you meant. It's what came out of your mouth. I just can't believe it. I just can't. Can you believe they said that? I just can't believe it. I can believe anything I choose to believe. I can believe in 15 minutes from now, your right eye is going to turn green and frog is going to crawl out your ear. If I want to believe that, I can believe it. I'm a believer. I can believe anything. I got a little clue for you. What's your name?
Jack.
Jack, I got a little clue for you. If a guy comes up and bets you, your left eye's going to turn green and a frog going to crawl out your ear, don't bet him. Because somehow or another, your left eye's going to turn green and a frog going to come out your ear. Don't ever bet a con at his own game. Yes, sir. Amen. But what I'm saying to you is, you and I are believers. We can believe anything we choose to believe. Thomas said, I will not believe unless I feel it, see it, and put my finger in the holes in his hands. He could have. Had he chosen to believe it, an act of his will was involved. I have chosen to believe the word.
Yes.
Praise. Hallelujah. But how difficult it is for people that continually say, I just can't believe it. I can't believe they said that. You say, I can't believe, I can't believe. Well, your inner man doesn't, it's your mind that's supposed to make the decisions. What you feed into your spirit, it just starts growing it. Whether you're saved or unsaved, that's where word seeds grow. You school yourself into unbelief. You get to where you just, it's a struggle to believe something when you want to because you've been saying, I can't believe it.
Amen. Oh, praise God.
Snared by the words of your mouth. Amen. We're in training.
Well, Brother Goblin, I don't think you ought to be so picky.
Oh, you need to be even more picky. Oh,
that's right.
Oh yeah. Don't be saying that anymore. No, 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 no. I'd rather me slap my face than have a flu virus slap me in the face. I'm not going there. I will never have the flu again hereafter forever.
Amen.
Now, I haven't had a cold or a flu or anything like that in years. Somebody said, I wouldn't, Brother Copeland, I would never say something like that. And whisper, don't you know the devil will hear you? Yes! I said it for his benefit. I want him to know that I have what I say. I want him to know that Jesus removes sickness from the midst of me. I want him to know that I believe that. And I say it with my mouth. I'll never have the flu in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you hear me, Mr. Devil? I'd say that if my fever was 102. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. I've preached long enough. Thank you, Lord. John 6:63, my words are spirit and they are life. John 10:10, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Words. Are the images of life and death. They build images on the inside of you. If you've been, say for instance, you've been confined to a wheelchair for a long time, you close your eyes, you see yourself there. It becomes difficult to see yourself up running around. That's the reason you have to meditate on the word day and night until you observe to do those things that are written therein. And you close your eyes and you see yourself getting up out of that chair and running across the room. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
And you just meditate on it and meditate on it and you say it and you say it and you say it and you say it and you glorify God and you shout and you praise. And I don't care if you feel like crying and crying and crying. I don't care if you are crying. Cry the healing scriptures.
Amen.
And don't let the devil steal you. Don't let him steal your dream. Say amen if you can.
Amen.
Would you stand up with me, please? Thank you, Lord. Say thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
I am not a doubter.
I am not a doubter.
I'm strong in the Lord.
I'm strong in the Lord.
I'm strong in the power of His might.
I'm strong in the power of His might.
I'm glad. When they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord. I come into His presence with a shout of thanksgiving and a shout of praise and victory. Thanks be unto God who always causes me to triumph. Thanks be unto the Lord Jesus who always gives me the victory. I have the victory in life, and I have victory over death. Death, where is your sting?
I don't feel you.
I am delivered from the spirit of grief. Jesus bore my griefs. He bore my sorrows. I am free in Him.
I glorify His name.
He my victory.
He is my salvation.
He is the lover of my soul.
He gave himself a ransom for me.
He sacrificed his body for mine. And now I sacrifice my body for his.
I give myself
to the Lord Jesus Christ
and to his body
to bless,
to bless,
to bless
the church,
the body of Christ,
the body of his anointing,
of which I am a part.
For God so loved the world
that he gave his only begotten Son,
that whosoever believeth in him
should not perish,
but have everlasting life.
I was a part of that world.
He is no longer the only begotten Son.
He's the firstborn of many brethren.
He's my brother.
He's my Lord.
He's my Savior.
He's my healer.
He's my baptizer in the Holy Ghost
and fire.
He's my soon coming King.
I love him.
He loves me.
Rejoice in it.
I may be his very favorite.
Yes, amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Yes.
In his eyes, you are his favorite.
And in your eyes, you should see yourself as his very,
because he has no favorite children. All of them are equal to him in the eye of the Father. When he prayed in the 17th chapter of John, he said, I pray for them that the world may know that you love them as much as you do me. Say it. God loves me,
God loves me
just as much as he does Jesus.
How then
could I not
love you
and you?
And you,
and you,
and you.
I'm so excited about you.
I'm so excited about you.
Oh, we're on our way to 1,000,000 partners. You understand that, don't you? God promised that to us some years ago. I messed it up for a while, but I'm back. Amen. 1,000,000 praying, sowing, shouting, believing, rip-roaring partners. When the Lord said that to me on that broadcast that day, I jumped, knocked my keycup off, flushed slop tea all over the table. Gloria's nodding tea. He said, you'll be the biggest Holy Ghost gang on the earth.